This is CliffCentral.com.
Son of God in a sock like a wet log. Pores never get clogged. He's so full of self-esteem that I sweat fog.
Wow.
Doesn't stop.
That's amazing. It's I got to listen to this a couple of times.
That's a Calm Down by Busta Rhymes featuring Eminem. I discovered it the other day by accident. Like, Eminem's raps on that are just ridiculous.
Well, Mubs Pulled is a Gareth in common parlance. In other words,
I'm sorry, a what?
A Gareth. You woke up late and then had to sit in traffic, and she got here though.
So my phone runs updates overnight, because at one point I instructed my phone to schedule updates for a specific time in the morning, and that's supposed to be between 2 and 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And it does that off the Wi-Fi. And then this morning, I'm turning around in bed, I open up one of my eyes and I see that it's a little bit lighter than what it should be usually. Uh-oh. When I get up.
And you get that panic attack.
So I jump out of bed, mm-hmm. I pick up my phone, I'm turning this thing on and it's still busy running updates, and I'm like, what the hell happens? Does the alarm then just not work in the middle of that process? Because my alarm clock never went off this morning.
You and phones. We've got to get you one of those old phones with that round thing that you put your finger in and turn it, and it goes click, 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 click.
Like a proper landline.
Those were old school when old school phones were old school. Like when I was 9, if you didn't have a BP phone with buttons, and those cordless ones.
A Bakelite one.
But a black one, and a red if it was for someone important.
Yeah.
But you get that vibe sometimes when you wake up late, and it's like it's truly not your fault, because your subconscious mind creates some fictitious story where stuff from your dreams, don't worry, you don't have to get up, Gord. The Jesus bear army that are helping you fight the pterodactyl monsters have told you that your sleeping is imperative to the fate of humankind.
You will convince yourself,
and you go back to sleep.
Just to give you some context, that was Busta Rhymes with Eminem, and it's called Calm Down. Very, very nice.
It's so funny to have a song called Calm Down by Eminem.
It's the opposite of what he does.
Who's always just usually on 100
the
time.
He's the most tense man in the universe.
Jeez.
All right, well, there's lots to talk about this morning. There's plenty of news. Sia has found out how those guys escaped from Sun City Prison. Give us the lowdown. What did
Firstly,
they do?
Firstly, we don't have any updates, right? Still, none of the 16 have been found.
No, none of them have been arrested. Rearrested.
But for now, images have now surfaced from the Johannesburg Correctional Center, which is also known as Sun City Prison, with 16 inmates who were actually still awaiting trial have escaped. And these pictures now show that, in one image in particular, part of a brick wall of the prison was removed. Pictures that were sent to Times Live on Tuesday, which is the day after the mass escape, show the debris of bricks, which was basically left behind. In another image, we see how the inmates stacked metal cupboards all together to form a staircase that led to the hole that they made in a wall, which was slightly higher. And a wire mesh grill was also cut and pushed backwards, which allowed for ample room for all 16.
But doing all of this makes noise, right? Doing all of this must attract some attention. I mean, the prison guards had to have heard something.
And how do 16 inmates gather and no one bats an eyelid? But as well, they said this happened early on Monday morning, so it was possibly still dark.
I have to say, I think our prisons are a mysterious place and a lot of crazy shit goes down and nobody even knows. And nobody's even paying attention most of the time.
Yeah. Mm.
All that the prison is saying for now is that the Department of Correctional Services would like to call upon families, friends, and members of the public to assist in the apprehension and recapture of these fugitives.
Well,
that's the only statement I've put out.
So here is the question. If a family member of yours was behind bars and then...
and you see his picture as one of the people who...
No, well, firstly, I don't know if going back to... Because where do you go as an escapee? Do you go home because you're banking on the fact that that's the last place people think you would go to? Or do you disappear and go somewhere else? Because if you suddenly aware that a family member of yours who was in prison escaped... What do you do?
And do you hand them
in? Do you phone the... Yes!
If they do pitch up, hey, hey, how are you?
Oh.
Nice to see you.
Has Reginald been around?
Actually, I'm trying to look at the map and to see specifically where this prison is, because is it around the city? Is it in
a... It's near Krugersdorp, isn't it? That's what I understood.
What's it called?
Sun City Prison.
Because Sun City is always metaphorically referred to as where you go when you go to prison. Yeah. Like when you don't want to, when you're going to go do a stint and you don't want to like say, well, I'm actually going to jail for a few months. You're like, he's off to Sun City.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was an actual Sun City
prison. So you were also part of the crew who didn't know.
It's actually called something else. It's
Johannesburg Correctional Center.
Yes. And we just kind of loosely started calling it Sun City Prison. But that's not its official name.
Okay.
And I think this is being deemed the biggest prison break in the country since
But there's still so many questions that the prison isn't answering. We need to know, were these people armed, and did they beat up any guards on their way out? Like, I have so many questions.
Was a person involved that had a poster and a spoon? Did they do the taxes for the warden and then slowly but surely become ingratiated to the staff?
Was one of the 16 escapees' entire body covered in tattoos that actually reads like a map? Yes.
Were there guards who were into this? Who were in with this? So what if they paid some of the guards off to just turn a blind eye?
Mm.
Did they betray a homie that actually was all his genius plan, but he got left behind, and now he's going to take the fall for everybody else?
Sounds like a TV show.
Yeah, sometimes I do wish we were in the States so that Lifetime would be on this and create a bizarre movie about this, but it's crazy.
But to Mubs' question of where do you go, I'd immediately head for the coast where my old friend Red has set up a little cabin coast.
You have a friend called Red? Yes. Have they done time?
He looks a lot like Morgan Freeman, and he's got a boat.
I just want to tell you, my friend Gord came.
I waited, and then eventually he did come.
What do you do?
You have a friend called Red who lives at the coast.
It's just great.
So, okay, hang on. Red has got, a cabin?
Have you not seen The Shawshank Redemption?
No, but I'm trying to imagine now Gord actually going off to the coast, and there's this old dude who has built a log cabin that they can both live in happily forevermore.
Fish.
Seriously, where would you go? If you had to escape, I mean, who would you talk to? Who would you be able to trust to not go to the authorities? Because you don't know with your family. What if there's reward money?
Dudes that you kept quiet to protect.
Yeah. Where do you go? And who do you tell? And where would you be safe? I mean, I've often thought, those people who went into exile during apartheid and people had to flee the country because they were political targets. And they had to escape through the borders to Mozambique and run through the Kruger Park naked and that kind of shit. Listen, let me tell you, there's some scary, death-defying stuff. Where would you hide?
But I also think, in South Africa as well, there's so much, wide open spaces.
Yes.
And so little, facial recognition. You don't expect, in a small dorp, the, four cops there to be, every day scanning the most wanted criminals.
They definitely are not.
Crap pencil drawings.
Yeah.
And, keeping an eye out for you. I just go by a different name and be
Red. I would say you're safest either in the Northern Cape, because there's nothing there, and there's lots of space. But you would really have to find some resources. Mpumalanga might be quite a good idea.
Karoo.
There's a lot of bush and kind of places to hide, and there's water, and there's...
There's bits of KZN where, it's a far walk up a steep hill to get to, where the people are at.
Yeah.
Personally, I would become a farm worker. Lay low for a couple of months. Really, I'd plow fields.
That's a good idea.
Grapes.
That's a good plan.
Because I go to the owner of the farm, just say, listen, I desperately need a job. He's just fine to pay me minimum wage. I'm tucked away somewhere.
I'm almost willing to frame Sia to see him
to see me
do farm work.
I'm immediately becoming a prostitute, obviously. But no,
But then you'll be in the city where tons of cops are.
You see, the issue is, so... I'd like to think that I could go to a place like Gwagwa, right? Because who's going to look for me there? But then I worry because, my parents are the kind of people who will want to sit me down and talk me into doing the right thing and turning myself in. Also, I don't know that I want to put that kind of pressure on my parents for them to know that their child who broke the law has now escaped from prison.
And is trying to hide in their house.
So I have a friend.
They'll be disgusted that you broke the law of the prison that you got into by breaking the law.
And my dad is in the legal profession. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I have a friend, though, and their family runs a lodge. And I think I could talk him into hiding me for a while until I figure out a plan at the lodge.
Yes. I think you guys are getting a little bit too elaborate for the what these guys should be doing. They should just become lifeguards of the Valley of the Waves, because no one notices or pays attention to those people. Seriously, have you ever seen a less important job than a lifeguard at Sun City?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder in the history of Sun City, like, how many lifeguard interventions
there have been. They're these nondescript individuals with these big red floppy hats. You can hide in there all day. Just count the clouds go by.
I think I'm past the point of being able to. I blend like a polka dot chameleon. I'm like covered in tattoos. I'm fat as ass. And I'm like very hard to just go and like not be noticeable, if you mean.
So you would just give
I'm
up.
Like a moon with drawings on it.
Oh, would you hand yourself in?
Where can I hide? Like, oh, I'll go look. I'll go pretend to be a tent at a rave.
Oh, dear.
I think the winning solution is Sears, I got to say. Although, I don't know that I could hide as a farm worker.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
slightly
you know, it's
different.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
Farm workers get killed as well, guys. I mean, that's...
Yes, they do.
Farm workers or farm owners?
Both.
Ooh.
Oh,
they both
mind.
Get killed.
And also, manual labor isn't my thing, hey?
Well, I mean...
To survive, you'd better make it your thing.
How are you going to moisturize every day?
You're not
going
to be able to keep your hands soft. Those spades do not have luxurious handles.
But this is crazy. You know, these 16 escaping, now I've been researching some of the other great escapes we've had in this country. For example, we've had 11 inmates escape once at a prison. They took the warders hostage and they stole a firearm from them.
Well, Mubs brought up Ananias Mate yesterday, who used Vaseline to squeeze through the bars.
Oh.
No one could believe that shit.
That is someone who is determined. Like,
yeah, determined.
What do you do? Do you like change your eating habits to lose weight a bit? And then
they've got a whole plan.
Mm. We've once had 20 prisoners escape from a police truck on their way to court here in Johannesburg.
Jeez. I think we've also had a couple of escapes from court where they meant to appear before the judge.
And then they jump over a railing and the next thing they go.
See, oh my gosh.
Crazy.
What do you do if you identify these people right as they come into your home?
Keep it moving. Keep it moving, Sia. If I see one of them from across the street, I'm going to keep it moving. Like, okay?
This is one of those things that is
look
not,
at the time.
But it's not your problem. Yeah.
What about your responsibility as a citizen? Nope.
Oh, look
didn't
at the
see
time.
Nothing, didn't hear nothing.
Hell no. Don't get involved.
Yeah, it's not in the real world, huh? Good Samaritans in the real world. Come on.
All right, what else is going on?
So Parliament's Committee on Public Enterprises have now decided that they are going to be reaching out to the Hawks because they need help tracking down the Gupta brothers so that they can be issued a summons to appear before the Eskom inquiry.
But this dude in Dubai found AJ Gupta. He's in Dubai.
Yes, but Gareth, it's a bit more complicated than that because the committee last month, they took the decision to summons them after they failed to appear before the inquiry, after invitations were extended to them, shame, they asked them to RSVP, and then they didn't. Mm. So now they're turning
very
to the...
millennial of them.
They're now turning to the Hawks to say, guys, please help us then bring these people back home. That includes the brothers AJ, Atul, and Rajesh, alongside the former SAA board chair, Dudu Mieni, as well as Duduzani Zuma. They were all meant to appear today, but none of that, of course, will be happening. So now the committee is saying, okay, then, Hawks, can you please pick up the phone or at least respond to our WhatsApp message to help us?
If Winnie Madikizela Mandela, at the height of the struggle, when she was focused, when her whole world view was determined by her enemy being Pia Via Buerta, if you'd said to her at that age and that beauty and that striking moment in her life where she was taking on the responsibilities of so many people and she was fighting for something she so strongly believed in. You said to her, Winnie, Mum Winnie, by the time you get to 81, the five biggest enemies of the state's names will be Dudu, Dudu, Atul, AJ, and Rajesh. Mm-hmm. She'd go, I will. Mm-hmm. Not possible. Mm-hmm. Huh?
How the times freaking change.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, what do you think they're going to do? You think they'll find these guys? They can't even find the guys in Sun City who escaped. and they're in the country, how are we going to find the Guptas and Duduzane and Dudumieni?
It's such a wonderful sign of progress that our massive oppressors in this generation are of like a different ethnicity. Yeah. What a wonderful world we live in.
We've come full circle.
Skeletor's like there's more variety in the supervillains of Earth.
I mean, yes. more than anything, this just exposes how the same we all are.
Yep.
Like we're all the same.
Right.
People are dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
As if no one already knew.
There you go, Gord. So Donald Trump is furious.
Again?
What's new?
furious.
Yeah. Someone call him a poo-poo head in social media.
No. This is an entirely different matter, Gord. It all has to do with the investigation led by the special counsel Robert Mueller from the FBI, whom Trump has now described as a disgrace and saying that he has issued a witch hunt on him because FBI agents yesterday had the audacity to raid the offices of the president's lawyer. This is his New York offices. His personal lawyer is Michael Cohen. This is the same Michael Cohen.
Who paid off Stormy Daniels.
So right. Agents seized files relating to Cohen's work, which include making that $130,000 US payment before the 2016 election to Stormy Daniels. And Cohen's own attorney, Stephen Ryan, said that the agents were working in part on the request of Mueller. Remember, there was that falling out between him and Trump.
Right.
The independent prosecutor investigating links between Russia and the Trump campaign. This is how this all started. So, you know, at the White House, Trump angrily denounced the raid on Cohen, who he's described as a good man, saying, it's a disgraceful situation. It's total witch hunt. I have been saying it for a long time. So another day, another opportunity for Trump to be upset at somebody who's, you know, trying to take him down, because evidently he's got a target on his back.
Oh, poor him. Like I said about our former president, Jacob Zuma, the other day when he was saying, oh, they're victimizing me. You cannot be president and victim. Like the one is super powerful and the other one has no power. You've got to choose which one you are. And if you manage to rise to the heights of being a president of a country, you cannot claim to be a victim. You can't. By the way, speaking of former presidents, mm-hmm. Has anybody seen Bill Clinton lately? He looks terrible.
How? Okay, let's see.
Jesus.
Let's see.
He looks like he's been attacked by crows for the last 3 years running.
See, because he's trying this whole vegan thing and I don't think...
He looks horrible. Bruce Springsteen is the same age as him, I think. Maybe a year or two younger.
He's 71.
Mm. Yeah.
He looks like he always wore makeup and then suddenly stopped.
Shit, he looks horrible.
That is such a good description.
He really looks bad, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. I'm not being nasty out of pure malice and a lack of kindness. The guy is looking really bad.
Objectively, he looks mean.
But also, you know, when you become a president, doesn't your body automatically switch to you aging in dog years? Because it's such a stressful job, and I don't think any of these guys ever recover from.
But he's been out of the White House for a while.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think their bodies.
Still married to Hillary.
I don't think their bodies ever recover from the accelerated aging that happens to all of them once they're in that office.
He's had a double whammy because. Triple whammy. He was president, which is stressful enough.
Yeah.
He was president with intern in the Oval Office. Stress.
Which you would impeachment think, issues. Which you would think should have relieved his stress, but...
No.
And you know Hillary's not letting him forget.
He was caught out, right? So he had to deal with that shit. And then add to that, he's been married to crooked Hillary.
Who has shit on him. I mean, he publicly had to admit he was cheating. Yeah. He's got like... His wife's got way bigger balls than he does. And like... He's had to live with it since.
Yeah. We actually don't know if she has shit on him, though. I mean, we don't know if they got to that stage yet.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still married to a woman that knows for sure he cheated. So it's like...
Horrible.
You will be reminded.
Anyway, I saw a picture of him, and then I saw a picture of Bruce Springsteen, and he just looks fantastic. He's 69 years old.
He is the coolest.
Yeah. You know, he's just done a Broadway show.
Jesse's so cool.
Where he talks you through his life and he sings his songs at the same time. Really beautiful. backstories. He brings you into why he wrote song X and where it comes from and family and yeah, the tough times he's been through and the good times he's been through. And he's got an amazing, amazing way of telling a story.
Wow.
Does he have like the E Street Band with him in the Broadway show, or is it just like him and a guitar and a spotlight?
Nice. It's pretty damn good from what I've heard. It's the best show on Broadway at the moment. You cannot get tickets.
Bruce can get it.
Okay.
He's 68.
All right. Anything else you want to throw in? I do want to get to Sven from the One Plan Group in just a moment or two and talk to him about the fact that winter is marching down on us, and obviously everybody's thinking about what they need to do to stay healthy.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a moment. Anything you want to throw in, Mubs?
No.
See ya. Gord.
Ben. I'm okay for now, thanks.
All right.
Here's a brief little story. In the worst excuse known to man, a woman was recently arrested on drug possession charges last month in the US. And do you know what she had to say about the bag of cocaine that was found?
No.
It flew into her purse.
Oh, sure.
Because of those people that just chuck cocaine.
Yeah.
I was just juggling my cocaine bags and I looked away for 1 second and I don't know where the one went.
Their car was stopped by cops. She says that it's a very windy day and because...
Bag of coke. Yes. That someone just left.
And happens. It must have flown through the window and into my purse.
So I hate when bags of coke fly through the window. It's just...
Yeah.
No one ever believes your excuse, but it happens to all of us.
It happens all the time, actually.
All right, when we come back, you can prepare with me for what you have to look out for this winter, what the big things are that people are going to be claiming for with insurance, and what you can do to make sure that you're as protected as possible. That's all coming up. Sven Lorencek from One Plan will be joining us in just a second. And we're also going to get to the unnews and a bunch of other stuff. Gord's here, Mubs is here, Sia's here, Ben's here, I'm here, and we're hoping that you're here all the way through until 9 o'clock. All right? I like this. This is probably the only Maroon 5 song in a long time that I've actually really liked. It's just so happy.
I didn't even realize that was them.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, 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 now, baby. All right, it is Wednesday morning. It's 25 minutes to 8. I hope you're having a good start to your day. There's lots to think about when the weather turns like this, and it really has. I mean, it's like jacket weather today.
Yeah.
You came in here looking very brave in a very skimpy little top, Mubs, but most of us.
I actually do have my jacket in the back. So.
What's that, Ben?
It's because Gord's here.
And I have a coat that permanently lives in the car because I just, from here onwards, I never know when I'm just going to need a coat as backup.
Well, I would imagine this is also the time of year now that we're going into where insurance companies need to be on top of things because people make claims for all kinds of stuff. And I don't even know, is it possible to claim for a cold or for flu or for the flu vaccine or for any of that stuff? And what can you and can't you? And also, what are people doing when winter approaches? What do they start worrying about? What do they start looking to protect themselves from? So we're going into the winter season, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to bring one of our friends on here. And we've been doing a lot of interesting stuff lately with One Plan. And Sven Lorencek is here from One Plan. He's one of the directors there. How are you, Sven? You haven't been with us in the morning. You've been on with Casper. How did it go with Casper? You survived.
It was amazing. You know, when you walk into the studio and there's guys stripping outside, it's all going on. And I kind of had this mental picture this morning walking up the stairs like going, oh my God, what's happening?
Today we'll be a little more civil.
Yeah.
That's not that I didn't enjoy it.
Mubs and I don't ever take off our clothes. Ben sometimes, Sia sometimes. Mm. Not to worry.
Anyway, we ended up talking about my sausages.
Oh, nice.
It was interesting.
So Sven, is it right that people start to make more claims in winter?
So yes. I mean, we've certainly, that's absolutely a fact. So we've seen an upswing in claims during these months, May, June, July, going into the winter months.
And what do people claim?
So it's interesting because the trends are peculiar. There's definitely certain influenza-related admissions.
Can I, if I get the flu and sure. I have to be, I don't know, medicated... I can claim for that?
Yeah, for sure. So
really?
Let's start with the basics. So the one thing that people should be doing is going for flu vaccines.
You think so?
Absolutely.
All right. So this is an ongoing thing. Like some people say to you, don't waste your time. It's stupid. It does nothing. Other people are disciples of it. They say you have to get this flu vaccine. You're wasting your time if you don't.
Sure.
You say you're a believer?
Yeah, so I think that there's enough medical data to show that flu vaccines absolutely help. So there's probably a 40 to say. I'm not a doctor, but I've had a look
at the data.
Would
you insure me if I did go for a kind of flu shot more than if you'd insure me if I didn't?
So we would. So we would say that you should go see your GP and you should absolutely have a flu shot.
All right.
So that's like, that's the baseline. That's where you start. But there's a whole lot of other things in terms of preventative medicine that I suppose people aren't doing during this time. You know that the likelihood of getting sick is greater.
Yeah.
So whilst it might not be a vitamin deficiency, you should definitely take on more things in order to prevent the likelihood of a flu, right?
So what kinds of things?
And vitamin C, zinc.
You're not the doctor here, but these are you know what people are claiming and what people go through and what kinds of things that they end up getting in the winter.
Yeah, and I suppose it's an educational process as well, right? Mm. Like our whole business is designed to try and cover people in the event of an unforeseen incident
or
a general practitioner claim, etc. But there's also a big educational piece around it. We want to make sure that our clients are looked after, that they're healthy, etc. So in so doing, we want to impart this knowledge. Like go for your flu vaccine shot. Take on some additional vitamins. Yes, there's always going to be an unlikely event of pneumonia, etc. Yeah,
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because you guys have all the data.
Exactly.
You can see from what people have claimed and from what's going on, when the biggest claim period in the year is and what sort of thing people are suffering from.
Yeah, so it's actually, so definitely the influenza related stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's obvious. But like slip and falls.
In winter is more than in summer.
You're like, slip and falls. Like, it's
is that those people who I've fallen
throw themselves in front of the car?
But that's a specific winter thing. Like,
is it a winter thing?
Yeah, it's strange, you know. It's
frozen steps.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, there's no ice, right?
But if we had snow and ice, maybe I'd believe it. But
you do
get that like frozen windscreen vibe, like in the right in the heart in the evilest part of winter. You get that vibe of like where people's, you know, there's frost on everything. Like that's a real thing. I remember that as a kid. I remember you'd get up super early for school, etc.
Take the hot water like, over the windscreen.
Yeah, and I always was worried it was going to make the windscreen crack because that just seemed like what it was bound to do. But yeah, I mean, precipitation freezes on surfaces in winter. It would make sense. There's none of that in summer. There's some of it in winter. I could see there being a correlation.
Slip and falls, though.
Crazy. So it's that kind of stuff that I wouldn't say is an anomaly because you kind of see it happening in a trend.
There's a marked increase.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's peculiar because last year, I think it's the 2015-2016 year, there was just unforeseen spike in medical claims. So if you have a look at medical schemes, if you have a look at the entire medical market, all of a sudden there's a spike in claims. But it's unforeseen events. So now you go like, well, generally doctors would or surgeons would prefer not to operate if people are sick, right?
Yeah.
If you've got the flu, etc. So planned illness procedures are reducing. But there's things like pneumonia, those kind of admissions that are increasing. But then 2015, 2016, it was like just a spike in claims and no one could put their finger on it.
Is that maybe to do with the economy? Because if people feel down and if they don't have a lot of money, they start looking for where they have spent money and they try to find ways to justify claims that they don't actually have.
You know, it's so strange, and I know it's a bit off topic as well, but there are certain economies where people view the insurance policies like a bank account.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, I've got X amount of cover and I haven't really depleted that cover. So you know what? I'm gonna go
cut
to the doctor.
Big toe off.
I'm gonna cut my big toe off. So
stupid people.
Yeah. So you definitely see that kind of that coming through, I suppose, but I haven't analyzed those stats, but yeah, I mean, it could absolutely be a possibility.
I'm amazed by that. It's quite an interesting and unexpected thing for someone who's not in the field that you're in, that planned procedures, obviously in winter, there are less of them because people are sick. You can't have an operation. You can't go under anesthetic when you're sick.
Exactly. And you see that consistently over the years as well.
In other words, stay healthy. And if you do have to have some kind of procedure, try to do it in the winter. The doctors have more time and they'll pay more attention.
That's exactly the point. I haven't actually thought about it like that. But that's exactly
a lot of foresight.
The point. Yeah. You've clearly been thinking about this.
I'm trying to crunch the data, man.
Flu vaccine. So you like reckon that this is a tried and trusted thing? Because I'm pro vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I think that is moronic when it comes to like vaccinations for children against dread diseases. But I know, a personal anecdote is not evidence, but I once had a flu vaccine, and 2 weeks later, I got the worst flu I've literally ever had in my life.
Don't be a hater.
And I'm like, I just
don't be a hater.
So that, because that could be a coincidence. You reckon it's like, bad luck, try again.
Yeah. So I suppose what the data will show is that there's a 40-60% reduction in likelihood of contracting some sort of flu, right? But I think it might just have been coincidence that you received the flu. And if it isn't, then I would say that the severity was probably restricted by having the flu vaccination.
It definitely would have been death if that's the case. So.
But I stand to be corrected here. I remember hearing that all the flu vaccine is really just an attempt to narrow down the likely strain that's going to hit your region in that next season. So taking the vaccine doesn't necessarily mean that you're now protected. It just, you know, it says, well, this is the strain that's likely to affect us in this region, but, you know, there are other strains still that are coming at you.
See, so don't mess with my Bali either.
She knows her stuff.
And I stand to be corrected, but that's what I remember being told.
So I took a flu vaccine 2 weeks later, happened to contract Ebola, and I put a correlation between the two and blamed the one for the other.
Now, what else do people do in winter that's stupid?
A lot. But if you're referring to claims and conditions in particular, I don't know if there's any particular event that you see spike in winter. I mean, it's generally the things that I've spoken about. I don't think, other than the slip and fall thing, which was really weird. I mean, no, I had a look at it.
Strange.
You know, I had a look at it before
frost.
Coming on the show.
I explained this. It's got to be.
Shut up.
There is frost.
Shut up, Gord. What about, because I think a lot of people would be interested in the kinds of technology that you guys are developing in order to figure out, with all these smart actuaries that you have, where the greatest and the least risk is, so that you can, first of all, keep the whole plan going, so you can pay people out when you need to, and you can still run it as a business. Are you guys developing new patent technology, new ideas? Are you incorporating the latest in sort of technological development in this respect, the big data crunching, the artificial intelligence stuff that enables your business to make those margins, those areas where there is a little bit of guesswork, less guesswork?
Yeah, so I think just going back to the conditions, I mean, some of the other things that jog my memory now are things like, and I know I'll answer your question in a second,
no,
but
cool.
Just going back to it, I suppose, you know, we were talking about the influenza type stuff, but, you know, asthma, arthritis, those kind of conditions that are probably exacerbated by cold spells or, you know, by the inclement weather. So those are some of the conditions that I suppose would be highlighted
as
well. So, but just back to your question. So do we have any technology that enables that, us in order to underwrite our policies more effectively or enable us to assess the data more effectively? So the benefit of our business and what we do is that a lot of it is based on a bespoke IT system. It's a system that we established over the years since the dawn of our business in 2010, 2011. And the digital nature of, so we don't use paper at all. I know that you've had Michael on the
Michael's
show and,
been in here,
and he would have given you a chapter and verse on exactly what makes us different and what we
do.
But certainly the benefit of what we do and the digital approach to how we administer claims and how we gather data enables us on an annual basis, aside from looking to actuarial teams in order to crunch the data, to collate all of that information and assess where the trends are. So where do the claims happen? Who are the kind of policyholders that claim? Is it the younger, healthier people? Is it the older, more sickly people? What time of the year, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, so Gord walked in here this morning, said he's physically falling apart. He's
yeah,
just
well, I mean,
disaster.
That's just old and fat. And then also I have a cold, the chappens.
Chin up. You're looking good.
Thanks, man. I feel positive. My outlook is positive. And apparently internal beauty shines through. That's what they tell me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all about what's on the inside.
I think Roald Dahl said that in the twits.
Yeah, and, Gord, just chins up, dude.
And I'm also insulated
chins
against
up.
The Arctic.
Chins up, says
Ben. That actually is quite funny. So.
All right, if you had to... If you had your team of people, because they're insurance actuaries are some of the smartest people. They always had to have the highest marks at school. Then they went into varsity, studied these really tough courses the rest of us will never understand. Has to do with very complex mathematical equations and risk assessment and all kinds of things. If you looked around the room now,
Oh, no.
And you had your team with you. Oh, no. Like, she's got asthma, Mubs.
I've had it since I was a child.
Yeah. So is she a problem? Like, you're going to make her pay more as compared to me?
They're going to make a lot of money off of me.
I mean, do you want to hear the truth? Yeah, or do you want the sanitized diplomatic version?
No, tell us the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
She has to pay more.
So I mean, that's the whole concept about health insurance versus, for instance, medical aids and medical schemes.
Right.
I think it's important to make that differentiation. So health insurance works very much on the basis that we assess the individual's risk. So we will look at you, we will look at any pre-existing conditions, we will look at your health portfolio. Whereas medical schemes work very differently, and this ties into the whole NHI plan. You know, we can go down a rabbit hole over there. And
we're going to have to at some point. We're going to have to discuss this.
But I suppose the fundamental difference between the two is medical schemes are based on certain fundamental principles like cross-subsidization, open enrollment.
And again, it's a numbers thing there, because if you have enough people in it, then if you've worked out the generalities and the averages and the medians
it's
and all this.
Pooling risk.
Correct.
That's exactly what it
but
is.
But what you guys are doing, and this is what makes your model interesting.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you particularly about this, and not just anyone from any insurance company, is because you look at the individual.
Yeah.
And you then figure out, well, that person's risk, do you have a number? Do you have a category? How do you figure it out? Like, is Mabale B triple minus, like when we get rated by the rating
it's like
agency?
Your Uber driver. Yeah. That, like, rates you on a
you have
on a
five
call.
Stars yeah, or yeah. three stars or whatever. Because, like, Gord was talking about being overweight. Would you penalize him that way as well? You have to, right?
Yeah, I would expect it.
He costs more.
For real, I wouldn't be offended. I'd expect it.
So yes, I mean, we won't give you an A minus and you a C, but there are certain features and elements of your health profile that we will analyze and then underwrite.
Because I know if Ben was insured with you and if Gord was, Ben would be pissed off that he's paying for Gord being fat.
Ben would just be pissed off, and then he'd go in and talk about the insurance situation,
right? I mean, you would, Ben.
It would seem. Maybe not balanced.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because you and I have that philosophy, but our current dispensation doesn't. So I suppose there's a whole lot of...
Yeah, but then you must go with one of those schemes because then you can pull your risk and you can be a socialist and we'll see how it goes for you.
That's exactly what it is, you know.
Because then you're if other people get sick, you pay.
That's major criticism, right? The younger, healthier people have to subsidize the older, more sickly people. And they go, well, what the hell?
Not me.
Yeah. Why do I have to pay, an increased premium or contribution?
And isn't this the biggest problem in places like Europe where they have an aging population?
Absolutely.
And young people in their 20s are going, well, why should I take out health insurance of any kind if I'm going to be subsidizing those old people that I don't even like?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's like. And, you know, that's part of the reason why we're able to charge substantially less.
Sorry.
What's wrong?
No, like, you just have to throw in that you don't like them. Like, they're not... The fact that they're sickly and they're costing you more on your insurance, but you also don't like... I don't want them to be happy or well.
You know how
screw
old people.
Screw your hip. Have a crap hip.
Until he becomes 75 himself.
But these are the things that insurance, a lot of people think insurance is dull, but this is fascinating to me. This is really interesting because you're actually evaluating people.
Well, it's super fascinating because it's going to play a far more fundamental part of your lives. I mean, we all pay for health insurance or medical schemes or something, and the time will come, 2013, if the NHI white paper is to be believed, where all of a sudden the way in which you interact with health services is completely going to change. What you can claim for, what you can't, etc. Yeah.
So Sia is the youngest of the lot. He's exactly 6 months old. And, you know, so his organs are still fresh. He's not overweight.
We want you.
His late night Melville WhatsApps to me are indicating that he's trying to pickle his organs, but only because he's just of legal drinking age as of last week.
And I know for a fact Sia doesn't get enough sleep. I get emails from him at midnight, and then he's up here at 4 a.m, so that's got to count against him. How much data can you ask people to give you?
So it's medical data. That's what we really want. I mean, there's certain data like your age, that sort of stuff is
it's public almost.
Pretty public knowledge,
I mean,
right?
Mark Zuckerberg knows all of that and more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting. I listened to some of the inquiry this morning,
mm-hmm.
and we digress. But he was definitely under the firing.
Yeah, he was under
in front of the firing squad.
But I'm interested because you guys don't. I mean, a lot of people volunteer information, right? And people will say to you, "Yeah, you know, I've got this." A lot of people in my family have dementia or cancer, or they've had strokes or whatever it might be. But some people lie.
Well, and that's a major problem. You know, you see the same feature in life policies, etc., where people aren't exactly truthful, and we see it all the time as well, where people don't disclose pre-existing conditions. You know, there's a particular health event, and we then discover that that condition relates to a pre-existing condition which was not disclosed, which then results in us having to... Absolutely, it's a misrepresentation.
Okay, but then they get cross with you if you ask... Are you sure?
Yeah, well...
They get pissed off. They've lied to you, but then they get pissed off when you ask.
But it's that short-term benefit that they have in mind to say, well, my premium will reduce if I don't disclose this.
Mm.
But when the shit hits the fan, then it's a matter of saying, well, why aren't you covering me? You know, it's, well, like you should have been Can't honest win. Right in the beginning, right? So it's the same as, you know, motor vehicles. It's the same as any short-term personal lines product. Just be upfront and just be straight with your insurer. And that way you know that if the catastrophe occurs, you'll be covered.
So we're led to believe that our approach to healthcare is different across the sexes, right? Supposedly, women, we're more of like, we take more of a preventative strategy, and men basically wait till they're dying before they do something
is that about true? Their
health. It sounds like a loaded question.
No, I mean, is it true?
Is that true?
When you look at the data across the sexes and the kind of claims, are there obvious trends between men and women?
You know, to be honest, I haven't had a look at that. But, I mean... My wife would kill me if I said it wasn't the truth. So absolutely, that's right.
It only seems
women
that
are
way.
Far more intuitive and have those things, have their finger on the pulse there.
It only seems that way because men have two speeds, perfectly healthy and dying. Yeah. There's no like, I'm feeling a bit unwell, let me take some preventative measures. You're at a 10 out of 10 or not even a 1, a fraction. Clinging to life by one sweaty finger, or flipping fine,
finely tuned racehorse.
No, that's right. Exactly.
But I suppose if I had to, with the experience that I have, I would think that is correct. Just because of the level of introspection and self-worth that women have compared to men, so I do think that there is,
and because women are naturally predisposed to being nurturing. I mean, I've often walked into the company of a group of women who've said, "Are you ill or are you looking well?" They know. They get a feel.
Guys don't give a shit.
Like,
you look like crap today. Yeah. Get out of here.
No, guys don't. We're not tuned into that stuff.
Yeah.
Like a homie walks in and he's looking like ragged and death, and you're like, "You're right, bro." And he's like, "Oh, sweet." Sweet, cool. I was like, "Do you need anything? I've got like multivitamins. Would you like a Carenza?" Like, so dead? No, fine.
It is interesting that that there are obviously ways that people can do both. Like, you can live a healthy life and thereby reduce your risks and your premiums.
Yeah. So my suggestion there, and it's something in fact that I did yesterday. I like probably gave them 20 vials of blood and then was lying there like a prune.
Oh, did you have like allergy and liver patch tests?
So once a year you should go for a comprehensive pathology, you know, check everything from your cholesterol. So, and it's a bit of a pain in the ass to go to the hospital and have 40 vials of blood drawn. But what's so important about it is that you can exercise this preventative measures in order to ensure that things like dread diseases, et cetera, don't occur later on. So it's just being a bit more mindful about looking after yourself, doing the hard yards now. Things like vitamin deficiencies, vitamin D, vitamin C, especially vitamin C.
They affect your long-term health.
It's like what the studies have shown is that we don't obtain enough nutrition and vitamins and minerals from the food that we eat. It's fact. It's just based on our diets nowadays and the quality of the produce out there. So you need to supplement. And simply supplementing with a multivitamin isn't good enough.
No.
Because you just don't know. I mean, you could be taking in too much of something that you already have. So it's just understanding your body mechanics and taking those preventative measures.
Would it be true to say that the more information you guys had in terms of the patient's health and what their medical conditions are and what they eat and how much walking or running they do and all that kind of, the more info you had, the better you would be at delivering the kind of products that they might need, And the lower the premiums might become, because the more info means both sides win.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's certain competitors in the market that do that really well, gathering statistical, well, medical information about their clients. But that's absolutely the case. The more we know about you, the more we can establish where the problem areas are and where they aren't. And if your risk profile is far more favorable, your premiums will be reduced. I mean, that's... goes without saying.
Well, here's a brilliant assessment by someone on WhatsApp this morning. Maybe people slip and fall when they get out of the hot shower and try to run to the closet to get dressed really quickly because they're freezing.
Could be a real thing.
Yeah.
A slip and fall. That always reminds me of those movies where there'd be some person and they'd fall and they'd go, I've fallen and I can't get up.
I've fallen very badly.
All right. Well, Sven, this has been useful. Very, very handy. If you want to find out more about OnePlan, it's very, very easy. We've been talking to them for weeks now, so we're featuring every time we get the occasion to talk about stuff like this, and we thought with winter coming up, this is an appropriate time to talk about it. You can find out more by going to OnePlan's site. You can also, that's oneplan.co.za, by the way. You can also SMS health to 31664, and you can wait for them to call you back. They don't take long at all. I tried this the other day. SMS health to 31644 for affordable health insurance, as little as 330 Rand a month. So you don't have to be left out in the cold. Right?
Because you might slip and fall.
Exactly. SMS health to 31644. One plan will call you back. It's as easy as that. Thank you,
Sven. Cool.
Spen.
Thanks for having me on
the show. Nice to see you, man. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, it's been a busy morning, and we're only just getting started. There's plenty more to come on cliffcentral.com today, so don't go anywhere. Here's the unnews. Thank you for joining us this morning. The stuff that you need to know. Mark Zuckerberg testified yesterday in front of Congress, but it started later than the scheduled time. Zuckerberg insisted on sitting in the sun, bathing on the steps of the court beforehand. He sat there for an hour without even checking his phone. The media were perplexed, but Sir David Attenborough pitched up and said this was quite common morning behavior for his species.
And in the sun, he regenerates his scaly skin and the oils around his eyes.
SARS are finally addressing the cryptocurrency boom, saying that South Africans must declare all income gained from cryptocurrency. This is about 5 months too late, of course, proving once again how inept SARS are, because everyone knows cryptocurrency isn't delivering any profits anymore. And finally, another season, another Champions League disappointment for Lionel Messi and Barcelona. The star striker has had enough of this now, and he wants to move away from the Spanish club. Barca's president was quick to remind him that the club bought him as a child, and he will eventually play for them until his legs break. Messi is expected to now dodge tax again, as prison has become a more attractive option than staying at Barcelona. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day. Coming up, a conversation that we recorded with Adrian and Louis Groenewald. That's right. Adrian and the old man. We talked to them not so long ago about the leadership platform, about leadership in South Africa, about what's missing, about what we do right, and plenty more, including their own story of where they both came from and how they got to where they are in terms of the leadership platform. All of that and more on the way. We will see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.